I appreciate y'all decorating all these tables and everything for me. That was nice. Y'all didn't have to do that. I'd ask that later on y'all pray for Della. She's not here not because she was ashamed of me, but because Justin's sick. He had 104 temperature today, and he's been sleeping all day. And Morgan's been sick, so be praying for them. I appreciate that. Tonight, before we get started, let me take us to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day and grateful for the opportunity to come together tonight and to open your word. I pray that you would help guide and direct my words. I pray that they would be pleasing to you, Father. I pray that Christ would be exalted in what is said, and that my brothers and sisters would be lifted up, and that possibly they would leave here looking a little bit more like your son. And I just praise you for him. Praise you for saving my soul, Father. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1. I've been reading over this chapter like dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And then I finally decided, the elders asked me if I would speak. And so I said, well, I'm going to speak on this chapter. And I said, well, while we're at it, why don't we just go ahead and attempt to try to do the book? No, and I'm not doing the book tonight. But over the next couple months, I'm going to attempt to do a book. So y'all just pray for me that somehow y'all stay awake through it all, and the Lord will give me what y'all need. So, but in chapter 1, it starts out, I'm going to go ahead and read through the chapter, then I'm going to go back and we'll talk about it. Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, which the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in him. Now, we're probably not going to get all this done tonight. It does a lot there. It's a big old T-bone steak, and we're going to chop it up into bite-sized pieces for everybody. I hope that as we discuss it and think of things, I was trying to, when I was looking at some of the commentaries, they were telling me specifically what an outline should look like and everything, but I was sort of wondering, what are we looking for, you know, in the passage? What's it telling me that I need to be thinking about? What's that thing that's, you know, speaking to me? So I hope that you'll understand what I'm talking about, and the Lord will bless you for it. So, but in the first part, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you think of Paul, I've always thought of Paul as probably needing to be an English teacher. So, he should probably be over there with Dave teaching class, because all of his letters are about the same set up, and everything's set in a certain way. But he always starts off with introducing himself. But it's interesting here that he introduces himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. He wants to be considered a servant. And the whole time I was thinking of being a servant of Jesus Christ, I was thinking about who this man was when our brother Jeff was sharing, and he was telling about the old nature of Paul and about the way he was. And now, all of a sudden, he's doing the work for Jesus Christ. So he's changed his life completely. And for me to look here and see it say the servant of Jesus Christ, it just makes you understand that more and more, that day when the Lord spoke to him and put his blindness on him and spoke to him, it was a true salvation experience that the apostle had. And so he was willing to, you know, before he was all that in a bag of chips, he was all these different offices, you know, and, you know, he was important. But now he's willing to take the lowly place of a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, who was beaten for our sins. He was willing to do that. So, but then he goes on to the next section, and he talks to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And so I'm sitting here going to all the saints. So that's everybody that's at the church. So we got everybody at the church that's there that have been trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and who have come into fellowship. They are regarded as saints. So we are regarded as saints because we come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking to those saints then, talking to the saints now. And so you see this one little line where it says, with the bishops and deacons. And he's talking about the order of how the church should be. So when I was looking at William McDonald, he was talking about this setup of the church. And he says, here we have a remarkable picture of the simplicity of the church. The saints are mentioned first, then their spiritual guide, and last there's temporal servants. That is all. There's no reverence. There's no archbishop. There's no priest. There's no prophets. It's really simple. You know, Layman Strauss used to say it's a simple gospel. Okay? The word is simple. It's for anybody. So, you know, there's a lot of faith out there that would take this, you know, take the Bible and twist it and make it into what it needs to be to fit their mold instead of their mold matching what the Bible says. So we need to make sure that we keep that in thought as we, you know, do things, because sometimes I know it gets confusing because people like, I mean, I've met people, y'all may have met people, and you talk to them and you say, well, what's your pastor's name? Well, we don't have a pastor. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And it's like, yeah, we know that, but who's the head guy at the church over yonder? And I say, well, you know, we have some leaders, but there's no one person. And the thing is with this also, it says bishops, plural, deacons, plural. It's not one man, okay? And the reason for that, is because I think God knows that we have a tendency to have a power struggle. Men folk do. You know, I've been to several churches before, and I've seen that where I had one man in charge, and sometimes when that one man is in charge, then we forget who's really in charge. You know? And then you start hearing people, well, my pastor told me this. He's such a great man. And I'm not knocking these people. They're probably Christians and they're saved. But that man is a man, just like you and me, and got blood and flesh. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God. Okay? There's nobody going to rise above him. Okay? All right. And in the next part here, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests for joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to thank this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christit And he says here, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And then it says, fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So here is Paul. He's writing the Philippians. And he's saying, you know, every time I think of y'all, I'm just thankful to the Lord for y'all. You know, there were a lot of churches doing different things. Some of them weren't successful or weren't doing things like they were supposed to. But the Philippians were getting it done. Okay? The Philippians were supporting Paul financially, by prayer. In other ways, he was being supported by them. And so he was thankful for them. And no, it wasn't something that he, you know, I'm thankful for you because you're doing stuff for me. No, it wasn't that kind. It was the kind that was like, because you're my fellow workers in the gospel. You're my fellow workers in the gospel. That's why I find joy in you. Okay? He's finding joy in them. And he's saying, remembering the things in the past. Now, in Acts, I'm trying to remember, Acts 16:11. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Because if I do that, then we'll be here forever. But anyway, I'm going to give y'all a gist of what I read in that section. Because you got to know what happened when Paul got to Philippi, I think that's right, and when he got to Philippi, what had happened, okay? The first thing you see is he shows up on the scene, he meets this lady, Lydia, and he witnesses to her, she gets saved, and the next thing you know, I mean, it was like in no time, how about y'all coming to our house? You believe that I'm saved, don't you? Well, come on to my house and hang out with us. And so they ended up staying there that night. The hospitality was there. Lydia's family gave hospitality, and he witnessed to the family. Family got saved. Then they were walking around town. This slave girl was walking behind them and shouting out, these are God's people. Listen to what they got to say, you know, and they're shouting out all over town. And so people are sort of looking at them weird like. And so Paul goes, the lady was possessed with a demon and says, get out of her. Okay? Well, she was a prophet. And so people come around and they say, hey, I give you $20. Tell me what's going to happen next week. Okay? Well, it wasn't $20 back then, but you know what I'm saying. It was that same thing. And so, she had a master. The master was mad. So he says, well, you know, you messed up my livelihood, so I'm going to take you out, Paul. So he takes and gets Paul thrown into jail. Okay? So you think, well, Paul's sitting up in jail. He's trying, right? He's sad, ain't he? No, he ain't sad. He's rejoicing. He is praising the Lord the whole time. And what happens while they're in there, there's the earth shakes, and the gate opens up, and all of a sudden, the jailer goes, oh, no, I'm going to have to kill myself. He said, I'm going to have to kill myself because all my prisoners escaped. So, you know, he's reaching over, you know, he's probably going to get his knife or whatever, and he's getting ready to, you know, to do himself in. And Paul says, hold up, wait a minute, I'm still in here. I'm still in here, you're cool, we ain't left, we're all here. Okay? And so then the jailer was like, what? If I was him, I'd have been down. I'd have been 10 miles down the road. But he said, not Paul. So he started talking to Paul, and Paul led him to Christ. And then Then Paul led his family to Christ. And then you got all these people. So these are memories that Paul's having. Wonderful memories. Look at all these people getting saved. Yeah, it wasn't real nice to be in jail, but hey, God used that to lead somebody to Christ. Okay? There's a lot of people sitting over in jail now, you know. They're looking at their life and they're going, you know, I messed up. I took the wrong direction. And somebody's presenting the gospel to them. And Lord willing, they're going to take a direction that's going to be for Christ. And when they come out of jail, they're going to be led into a place to work for the Lord, to be, as Paul was, a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says, when he says, so he remembers the first day until now. We do that here, okay? Y'all know Mr. Jeff's having a Bible study with the teenage people, right? Okay. Mr. Jeff is going to be going down the road 10 years from now. And you know what he's going to be looking for? He's going to be looking for fruit from his Bible study. He's going to be looking, he's going to say, who's leading the chapel now? Who's giving the messages out now? Who's leading the singing? Okay? That's the plan. Y'all from, yeah, whatever, Mr. Johnny. You don't know what you're talking about. That's the plan. Okay? And if you're with the Lord, then you'll have a desire to serve Him. And you'll have a desire to come up here and speak. I'm going to tell y'all, 20-some years ago, I got saved. The last thing I thought I'd be doing today was be up here giving y'all a message. Okay? I mean, it just still sends chills down my spine just to think, to stand up in front of y'all. And then to think that y'all would even want to hear me. That's even more amazing. I'm like, you know, these people come over on a Wednesday night, you know, they could be doing something else. But it's not because of me. It's not because of me. It's because of the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that y'all came here to see. He just used me to deliver a message to y'all tonight. That's all. That's it. So, and then he says that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, so the work that comes with you teenage folk, you know, it is like, well, Mr. Jeff says, you know, the end of the Bible study's here, that's it. The work's done. We don't have to worry about it no more. No, it ain't done. The work of Jesus Christ is to continue on, and that he's going to be faithful in whatever work he gives you to do. Not just your work where you go get a job and get a paycheck, but the work that you're doing for him. Okay? And hopefully, Lord willing, your work might include that you're doing something for him. Like, you know, doing the Bible bus program or something like that. Okay? If the Lord so, you know, see his fit. But one thing that Paul says is, I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart. You folks are in my heart. I should be in your heart. I know that sounds weird, but y'all should, you know, when I have a burden, y'all should say, man, I'll be praying for Johnny. Okay? If Neil says he's tripped over a horse or something, I should pray for Neil. I should be thankful. Is there anything you need, Neil? Is there any way I can serve you? Is there anything I can help you with? Okay? And it's also, I mean, in your heart, fellowship, brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? But the only problem is sometimes the brothers and sisters are just like the real physical brothers and sisters, and we don't always get along well. Okay? But that's when we need to go to Christ and say, hey, look, you know, I got this problem. I got this problem between me and my brother or me and my sister, and I need to talk to him about it. I need to make it right. Okay? So, that way they can be in your heart. Okay? You can have them in your heart. You're thinking about them. You're praying for them. And no, it's not like, oh yeah, God just remembers. Trust me. No, God, really, my brother's having a hard time. You know, sincerely. You know, that's important. Okay? All right. And that's the greatest respect you can show to somebody, is when you remember them. Okay? How many men got pictures? Right now, I can't say anything because I don't have one in my wallet right now. How many men have pictures of the family in the wallet? Raise your hand. That's, hey guys, come on now. We got to get on this. When you break out your picture, how about at work? Do you have pictures up on your desk at work or around? Because you want to remember the people that you love, that you care for. You want to remember them. And then there's another day that we come here specifically to do one thing. That's to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? That's it. To invoke memories, to remember him, okay, and the sacrifice he made at Calvary, okay? And that we remember him, and if I say okay again, somebody throw something at me, okay? Good, smile's coming, okay. But you know, there's that time of remembrance is not for these guys that are bishops and deacons. It ain't for us. It's not for us. It's for the saints part. Okay? The men folk saint. Okay? And if y'all want to do another message on why the women folk can't, then one of the other brothers can do that message. But we have an understanding that the men folk are supposed to be getting up and worshiping and praising the Lord, right? Isn't that the understanding? Yes, Mr. Johnny. Well, yeah. Now, if you're saved and you come in here during worship and you're sitting there and Christ is moving your heart and you're sitting there and you're going, No, I ain't getting up. You're letting your feelings get in the way of performing your worship for remembering Christ. And that's what he wants. He told us to do that. This do in remembrance of me. Okay? So if we can put pictures up in our cube at work or our office, or we can put them in our wallet, or we can even have mental pictures of our family, can we not give up some memories during worship? Can we? If you're saved and you're truly dedicated to the Lord, and the Lord has laid it on your heart, get up. Tell Him. Tell Him what's on your heart that week. Tell Him a song that you was humming in the shower. I did that before. I sung a song 3 days in a row, and I said, this must be the song the Lord wants me to give out, and I gave it out. Just thank Him. Okay? And young men, we need y'all to share. Okay? And any brothers that aren't getting it out, come on, get up. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He ain't had no problem going to the cross for you. Well, how hard is it for you to get up and say thank you? Thank you for doing that. Okay? So, I ain't trying to step on their toes, but if the Lord uses it to move your heart, then so be it. Is that me? I have problems with this, you know. I drop it. I don't cut it off. Caught it on right and stuff like that. Okay. I'm sorry I was long-winded on that, but that part had really gotten my heart. And I just felt like I needed to share that. All right. And this, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Approve those things that are excellent. Okay? So we want to build up those things that are going to make us excellent. Okay? That are going to make, and when I mean excellent, I don't mean that you all out in a bag of chips. I mean that are going to make you more like Christ. Those things that are going to build you up. Okay? That's the things that we need to be going for. Be without offense. We need to be sincere in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a minute we're going to talk about something connected with that, but I'm going to wait till we get there. But he was always praying for these folks. He was praying for them all the time. And you say, well, he was in jail, wasn't he? Yeah, he was in jail. And the thing that he was thinking about the whole time was all those people in the church. He was thinking about them. He was thinking about those people that were going to get the gospel and get to hear it, and that were going to become his brothers and sisters. Okay? Now, he's going to talk about that. He's saying, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Okay? So here he is in jail. You know, and before we already talked about when he was in jail. Okay? Earlier on, he was in jail. Okay? And then he got released. I didn't mention that part. He got released. Later, you know, after all the wonderful things that had happened and he had witnessed these to the jailer, he ended up being released. Okay? So he ends up in jail again. And I'm sure it's because of the gospel. It's because of the gospel. There's no doubt. So, excuse me. So you're thinking, well, you know, that's it. You know, you're in jail. And as we mentioned before, you know, that's where everybody's like, oh, that's it for you, buddy. You're in jail. No more for you. Sorry. But no, that's where it just begun for Paul. He was giving the gospel out. He was sending these letters everywhere. He was witnessing to the people at the palace where he was at and other places that were in that area. He was witnessing to everybody. So, I mean, like, if you're already in jail, there ain't nothing else you can do to me. So I can preach the gospel as much as I want to. What you going to do, put me in jail again? The only next thing they can do is kill him. Okay? That's the only next thing they can do. Okay, but he's going to talk about that in a minute too. Okay? But while he's in there, he's preaching the gospel to everybody. And they're getting confident because they're seeing their brother. He's in bonds. And he's still confident. You know, he's not over there. No, he is, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. He can save you. He's telling these people this. Okay? So, so the brothers are outside and they're like, man, Paul's up in prison and look at him preaching. I'm out here free. I can walk around. I need to be preaching too, just like Paul. I need to be preaching like Paul. They're getting that boldness, that confidence from seeing their brother being in bonds and preaching the gospel still. Okay? Now, hold up now. There's some people you say, well, you know, everybody was good and they was doing what they were supposed to. Right? Not only one. Some indeed preached Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preaching Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and rejoice. Okay? I like that yea and rejoice part. We'll talk about that in a minute. You got these two people. Okay, there's the thing we call Judaizers. I think that's what they call that. I think that's what the Judaizer people. But they were like those Jews that said, you know, yeah, I believe in Christ. But you know what? I believe in the circumcision. And I believe in making that sacrifice at the temple. I still believe that stuff. We need to make sure. And no, don't eat no food on certain days. That says, you know what that says? That says Christ ain't enough. Christ ain't enough. Guess what? Christ was enough. He was enough to pay it all, to pay all our sins. That stuff, it's gone. It's gone. It's not here anymore. It's a New Testament. Okay? A new covenant has been made. Okay? Now, the thing that got me is these guys are preaching, and this is probably the part that I struggle with the most. I actually had to talk to some brothers about this one. And then that's when I found out that there was these people that were Judaizers that were doing these things. But he's saying, you know, they're trying to add afflictions to my bond. They're trying to make my situation worse. But nevertheless, Christ is preached. Christ is being preached, okay? So even though there's these guys that are doing the right thing, they're preaching with good intention, they're wanting to lead people to Christ, then you got these other people over here, they got strife and envy, and their motives are not right. And these guys, their motive is right. Either way, they were both preaching the gospel. Okay, so when the evil, well not evil, but the Judaizer guys, okay, when they were talking to people, they were still giving the gospel out. They were still telling about Christ. But then they put that little and, you have to get this, 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 and this. Okay, they weren't supposed to put the and on there. They were supposed to just stop. Christ is it. Okay, but now they had to add 15 billion things on there. So, but the gospel was being given out. There were some people that was going to listen to that message and say, I want to trust Christ, but you know what? I think from hearing other things, and I believe what you guys are telling me, but there's something from what the others are saying, that other stuff don't matter. You know? So they may have actually heard the gospel from these people. And so I liken that unto the TV evangelist that we have today. Okay? Alright? Now, I'm not saying they're not Christians. They could be Christians. That ain't for me to decide. That's between them and God. Okay? But their message has a false motive. The motive is, a lot of the time, is to get money. Okay? There are some people that do that. Okay? And they'll, you know, send me $5. And I heard a brother before that said that he heard a brother preaching, and he was like, well, you know, y'all really should put X amount of dollars in the plate today. You know. But the motive there, I'm like, you're after some money, you know. And that's one of the things that I think, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm wanting to say that the leadership aren't supposed to be lovers of money. Right? Okay, so when you go to a church and you hear that dude that's up there preaching and leading you, and he starts talking about the dollar bill, and you know in your heart, you know in the spirit when somebody's responsibly discussing the things of God and about finances. And then you know when somebody's trying to take you for a ride. Okay? That's what he's saying. But he's saying that even though those evangelists on TV, they read the Bible. They read the Bible on TV. So them little old people that sit in there because they can't get to church, they're hearing the gospel. Okay? And yes, they might listen to a little bit of that stuff about sending $20, but they're hearing the gospel. And they could be led to know Christ. Okay? And that's what he's saying right here. He says, yeah. He says, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, and I will rejoice. Okay? So you're sitting there, what do you mean rejoicing twice? I'm fine with them preaching it. The message is going out. Christ has been preached. I rejoice. Okay? I rejoice for the people that are doing it the right way. I rejoice for the people that ain't doing it quite the right way, but they're giving the message of Christ out. Okay? All right. We ain't got much longer. All right. Now we're going to go to the last part. I'm going to do it real as quickly as I can. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now this is the key verse. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, you know, if I used to work in the psychiatric realm, they would take that verse and say, he's trying to commit suicide. They would take something like that. That ain't what he's saying. Okay? He's not wanting to die. You know, he's not wanting to off himself. Okay? What he's wanting to do is say, if I die in my bonds, that's fine. I'm okay with that. Okay? But if I live, that's fine too. Okay? He said, because he knows that if he dies, he's going to be with Christ. Okay? But then to be here, that's fine too, because he's witnessing other people the gospel. He's giving the gospel out to other people. Okay? I said it again. He says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, it would be nice to be in heaven. You know,
Have you ever had something really bad happen to you? And you said, what a blessing it would be for the Lord to come today. What would have, you know, if the Lord took me home today, it wouldn't hurt my feelings. I mean, have you ever had days like that? Because your desire is to be with Him more than being in this wretched world. Because there's some times where, you know, even though we have that sin nature, there's a part of us, the Holy Spirit, that says, we're fed up with this mess, and we would prefer not be here. Okay? But that doesn't mean to be volunteering or speeding things up or anything. Okay? Let's get that straight. Well, nobody knows what Johnny said. No. Johnny didn't say such things. But he was saying abiding in the flesh is more needful for you. Okay? Hearing you young brothers speak, it's more needful for y'all to be here. It encourages all the older men. It does. Okay? And then when y'all sit there and y'all listen, like you're sort of listening to me now, it makes us feel good. Because we're like, man, they're listening to me. They're understanding what I'm saying. You understand? See? You understand. But it makes me feel good that I was able to share and hopefully to build y'all up. And so it's more needful for us to be here until the Lord takes us home. Okay? So we shouldn't have any fear of death. Okay? And I know that's easier said than done. You know, my fear has not always been of death, like the step into to go over the River Jordan, you know, my fear is leaving the people that I love behind. Okay? That's the thing that's always bothered me. I was like, it's almost like, you know, if you get to a certain point and you're not really feeling good, it's almost like, yes, Lord, you know, if this is time, you know, take me. You know? But it's almost a peace about it. And then when you think about it, that you're saved and your family's here and they know that you're saved, that they know that they're, you know, don't get into the specifics about heaven, because I've heard people say, well, you see people when they're in heaven, you don't see people, you know, you don't know each other, you know each other. I don't know. But isn't it a confident thing to know that we're all going to be in heaven with the Lord, praising and worshiping Him together? Together. Okay. Only let your conversation be as becoming the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, and to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which He saw in me and now here to be in me. Okay? So He's wanting to hear the affairs of them. Okay? So when you have a mission, and I said, okay, again, when you hear somebody on a mission field, I bet that when they come and visit, I bet it's like, man, I wonder how them people in Reedsville are doing. I wonder if they're doing good, you know? Because we're always thinking about, well, we need to be praying for them, and we need to be doing for them, and they didn't even, you know, but I bet they pray for us. You know, so when we bless them, either with prayer or financially or in whatever form that we help bless them, then, you know, I'm sure they think about, man, them people in Reedsville, just like Philippi, you know, because they supported Paul. I mean, they were probably near the front of his thoughts from time to time. And that's the way they are probably for us when they go on the mission field. Okay? But we need to be stand fast. Ye stand fast in one spirit. So we need to be moving together in one direction, okay, in one spirit together, the one spirit of Christ, okay? that we're working together, okay? I said it again. I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to put me a note on here that says, do not say okay. One mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So we should be moving forward for the faith of the gospel. And it says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. So when you got people that are... when people look at the Reedsville Bible Chapel, and I'm not saying this to put up a front, okay? Don't want no fronting. What I mean fronting is putting up a fake front so people can go, oh man, them people in Reedsville, they're really nice people. Blah, blah, blah. We don't want that. Okay? We want it to be a natural, but I've heard my brother say fellowship, a natural fellowship. Natural brotherly love. A natural brother and sisterly love that we show for one another, just like we were talking about earlier, about each other being in each other's heart, thinking about each other, praying about each other. Okay? Those are the things that we want them people outside when they go, man, them people in Reedsville, they serious. They serious about caring for each other. About loving each other and taking care, and they enjoy being around each other. You understand what I'm saying? Those are the things that are the witness above the words. Okay? That's when you talk the talk and walk the walk. Okay? So that's just some things that I felt like was leading me in this passage. I hope that maybe the Lord used it to speak to your heart. And I just praise the Lord Jesus Christ.